Thank you for calling. This lesson is designed to deal with problems faced by many people. How can we know God exists, and how do we answer questions raised by skeptics and atheists about the Bible? We hope you will listen to this message with an open mind, and if you have questions or would like to hear more, we hope you will write us. An address will be given at the end of the lesson. The fossil record in the Bible. Young people, as they study the evidence of things that have happened in the history of the earth in their public school classroom, are sometimes led to the impression that there is a gross discrepancy between what they're studying in their science classroom and what they can read in the pages of God's Word. We'd like to examine the Genesis record briefly and consider what is known from science about the statements that are made in the Genesis account. We hope that you will follow along as we consider what the Word of God has to say and how the fossil record compares to that particular Genesis 1:1 states, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." There is no theory of science that can satisfactorily explain how matter came into existence. All theories that science advances either assume that matter has already existed or propose ideas which are known to be inconsistent with scientific fact. We're not told when this creation occurred. We're not told how long it took or what process was involved in forming matter out of nothing. We're simply told the simple fact that God created it all. The interesting thing to realize is that there is no way that God could have given a detailed explanation of how everything in the creation was created and enable us to understand it. Neither would Moses have understood it. It's also important to realize that there are many forms which are not explained in the Bible. There is no mention of when amoebas were created, or bacteria, or viruses. These are forms that people without microscopes in the day of Moses could never have understood. As a matter of fact, the indications are that there have been some 20 million different kinds of animals that have come into being on this planet. If Genesis 1 had taken just half a verse to explain each one of them, your Genesis account would have been over 10 million verses long, and it would have taken a forklift to pick up your Bible. So there isn't a great deal of detail given in the Genesis record, but what is given is accurate, and there are some things that we can study and understand as we read the pages of the Bible. In the 9th verse, for example, of Genesis 1, we read, "And God said, Let the waters under heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." The word translated land in verse 9 is from the Hebrew word eretz. It means just exactly what it would mean to you and me, the land mass. And if one looks at this verse very carefully, one realizes that according to the Genesis account, in the beginning, all of the land was in one place and all of the water was in one place. We're told that the waters were gathered together into one place and the dry land appeared. Only within the past few years have geologists come to the recognition of the fact that in the beginning there was one land mass, and that as a result of thermal convection systems within the earth, that land mass has divided and has moved to its present position. This rather complicated theory was proposed many years ago by those who noticed that the outlines of the east coast of the United States and the west coast of Europe were parallel to one another. But only in recent times have we actually shown that this movement has and is occurring. The Word of God recorded this statement some 3,200 years ago. As we read down to verses 11 and 12, we see that the next thing to appear upon the earth were plants. In the fossil record, we see that the first living thing to appear upon the earth were plants. Not only do verses 11 and 12 tell us accurately that plants were the first thing that were living on the earth to appear, but even the sequence of plants is accurately predicted. We're told in verse 12 that the earth brought forth grass first, and then later the herb-yielding seed after his kind, and finally the trees yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. In the fossil record, we see that the first plants to appear were very primitive grass-like plants. The fossil name is stromatolite, and it is very much like the algae living today. Later, we see what we call gymnosperms, something like our pine trees, and finally the angiosperms, something like our fruit trees. In every detail, the Genesis account is accurate. According to the Bible, the next living thing to appear upon the earth were creatures in the waters. Verse 20 tells us, "And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life." And, as a matter of fact, the fossil record shows that the first animal life upon the earth began in the seas. In the last part of verse 20, we are told that the first warm-blooded creature to appear upon the earth was a bird. God says he created the fowl that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And in verse 21, the phrase is used, "Every winged fowl after his kind," and God saw that it was good. In the fossil record, the first warm-blooded form to appear upon the earth is a bird, known as the Archaeopteryx, about the size of a crow and having many characteristics of birds living today. This bird, indeed, was a good flyer. It was not, incidentally, the walking bird which some evolutionists have proposed, but a bird that was capable of good flight. As we read on in the Bible account, we see that the next thing to appear in verse 24 were the beasts of the earth, cattle and similar types of living things. And, as a matter of fact, the fossil record once again shows that to be true. Finally, man, the last thing to appear upon the earth, is recorded in the Word of God. In the fossil record, once again, we see man being the most recent form of living thing to appear upon the earth. Not only does the Bible accurately describe the sequence of life, but even accurately describes changes that can occur in living things, which the scientist calls evolution. In the third chapter of Genesis, in the 14th verse, the Bible says, "And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Today, we recognize that the serpent, in fact, has actually lost his legs. As a matter of fact, in some serpents, it is possible to still see the rudimentary appendages that were the legs in the animal. How can the Bible have this kind of accuracy if it was just simply a collection of myths and a collection of old stories by ancient people? It is obvious that the Bible is the Word of God. Young people need not be disturbed by what they study in the classroom, for if they compare what the fossil record really says with what the Word of God really says, they will find the two are in complete agreement.
The message you have just heard.